So as we come to the close of the year, what is this year? 2012. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is leading us to ponder our identity in Messiah and His identity, both perceived and real. Our concepts of who we are and who He is greatly will affect how the year 2013 and how we enter it. Sadly, there are many in the body of Messiah who have lost their sense of identity in the Lord. Something within them has died. The Bible addresses believers like this in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I come upon you. The chapter that I read deals on to reassure the few who have not defiled their garments, who will walk with the Lord, that they are worthy. What exactly is God saying, though? First of all, He's saying that you are not saved by works. Salvation is by grace. Faith in the risen Messiah. That's what we believe here. That's what I've always believed. It is an event followed by a process, much like marriage. Marriage is an event followed by a process. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. Once the event takes place, the believer in Yeshua ideally embraces the truth of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is our identity. We are a new creation. We are His workmanship. We are created in Messiah Yeshua, according to Ephesians 2:10, for good works, which God prepared for us already. You don't have to make up stuff. And we should walk in them. What has God given us that we should walk in? Good works. We must know who we are before we can fulfill our individual purpose, our destiny. It all begins with renewing our mind with the Word of God so that we agree with who He says we are. As we think, godly thoughts, godly actions follow. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." As the year ends, we all need to search our hearts and ask the question, am I walking in the works that God has already prepared for me to walk in? This is our messianic halakha, our walking out of our faith. Halakha means walking. You have been chosen by the Creator to fulfill the desires of His heart. Pursue Him. Inquire of Him. He will show you your specific identity in Messiah, whether it's an intercessor, an encourager, a server, a teacher, a helper, etc., etc., etc. Doesn't matter. God will show you. Ask God to resurrect that which has been dormant in you, a gift or a talent perhaps that no longer has any life. Ask forgiveness for allowing the enemy to rob you of your precious inheritance in Messiah, especially the awareness of who you are in Him. Identity is who I am. It's my perception of myself, my values, my worth. Who are you? Your answer shouldn't focus on your name, your occupation, or your role as a spouse or a parent. Instead, you should focus on who you are according to the Holy Scriptures. A beloved child of God. That's what you are. That's what you should focus on. Cleansed by the blood of Messiah. A child of Abraham by faith. And a part of a spiritual priestly bridal company. Loved. You are loved. You are accepted. You are forgiven. You are treasured. You are chosen. Amen? This is you. If you have received Yeshua as your Messiah and your Lord, we have been bought with a price, according to 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, our value can be measured by the price that was paid. And that price was the life of Yeshua himself. He believed that you were worth dying for. He believed that. The bride price, the mohar, has been paid for each and every one of us and should solidify in our hearts how very much he loved and valued us. When we don't have identity, we have something else. We have fear. This manifests itself in six ways. One, insecurity. We doubt God's love for us. Two, we have restlessness. We're striving, performance, and self-focus. Three, a curse that comes because the blessing is canceled. And four, a mind blocking and darkening because of lies. Five, a locked and hardened heart. And six, a lack of shalom, since fear pushes the soul out of our peace. The enemy, HaSatan, tells us a lie in an attempt to steal our true identity. The lie is, I am loved by what I do. The truth is, I am loved. Rabbi Shaul expresses it beautifully in Ephesians 1:6. He made us accepted in the Beloved. Accepted, not rejected. We do the works that God has preordained for us as the fruit of our love relationship with Him, and not in an attempt to earn His love. We cannot do anything to make Him love us any more or any less than He already does. He is God. His love is not like ours. His love is always unconditional. Do not allow the enemy to steal your identity. When he tries, and he will, remind him who you are. Let this be your confession. I am loved. I have value. I am a child of God. I am forgiven. I am a new creation. I am righteous. I am redeemed and chosen. And guess what? I belong. Amen? To have identity is to know and believe that God loves you, that you belong to the Lord, that you have value in His sight, and that you're cared for by Him. It is to know that your needs will be met in Messiah, who gives His shalom, His peace. Picture Yeshua as a model of spiritual identity. At the beginning of His ministry, His Father spoke a word of identity to Him when a voice from heaven in Matthew 3:17, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Yeshua's relationship, His acceptance, His value, His security, His sense of belonging, His significance, and knowledge of the Father's love were firmly established as the Father affirmed His identity. And He went on to fulfill His destiny. To not have identity is to feel that you don't belong and you're not wanted. It is to feel shame and guilt and the sense of worthlessness, that you are a mistake. It is to feel fear, insecurity, and loneliness, doubting that your needs will be met. It is to agree with what HaSatan says about you and to doubt God's love for you. This is what I call identity theft. Don't let it happen to you. There is natural as well as spiritual identity theft. This year, there's been a substantial rise in demonically inspired activity in our country and throughout the whole world, hasn't there? It hits home to us when we hear of what happens to people who lose their Social Security numbers or they have their identity stolen. Lou had that problem, didn't you? Yeah, we are asked to answer a number of security questions on online banking. Have you done that? In an effort to avoid identity theft. That's why they ask you those questions. Some of the questions highlight just how easy it is to rob someone of their identity. Since we know the answers to, where did your parents meet? Or what is the name of your favorite elementary school teacher? To minimize the chance of identity theft, we suggest that you never give out your Social Security number. You should never give out your Social Security number or other personal information over the phone to anyone. Don't ever do it unless you personally place that call. During the month of December, millions of us are going to sing about the Messiah. I mean, all these people in churches are going to sing all about Jesus, aren't they? Many will call him Jesus. His mother will be called Mary. And his father is going to be called Joseph. Some of them will call him King. But there will be little or no emphasis on the fact that he was born King of the Jews. The wise know this, as did the wise men from the East in Matthew 2:2. At least one Christmas carol asks about his identity. What child is this who is laid to rest on Mary's lap, is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing, haste, haste, to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. Sometimes Jewish people ask us about the identity of Jesus, the Messiah. They want to believe, but they're having difficult times setting aside many years of being taught that Jesus is only for Gentiles. Jews can't have him. He's ours. We stole your identity. The baby in the manger is a totally Christian concept over there. Even though the baby in there is Jewish. When are you going to realize that you're singing to a Jew? They wrestle with the truth that the babe, the son of Mary, is really the Messiah, the Son of God. Oh, man. Put a tallit back on him. Restore him to his original Jewish identity so that our people can recognize him as their Messiah. For 2,000 years, you've stolen his identity. Give it back! You want him to come back? Give it back! Remember Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers? We're reading about it in today's Torah portion. He became second to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. He was not recognized by his Jewish brothers because he looked like an Egyptian. He walked like an Egyptian. Remember that song? Yeah, he was a foreigner. He spoke a foreign name, and people called him Zaphnath-Paaneah. Say that three times fast. Twinkie, Joseph is a type of Yeshua whose brothers see him as a Gentile. When they walked in, there's another Gentile running the place. The good news is just as Joseph revealed his true identity to his brothers, and they lovingly embraced him and reconciled, Yeshua is now revealing his true identity to his brothers. The Jewish people, and many, many Jewish people, are receiving him. It's an unfortunate historical fact that the church, has largely been responsible for stripping Yeshua of his Jewish identity. He's now a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, gorgeous Greek guy. In a novel, How Jesus Was Robbed of His Jewishness by Ron Cantor, he lists some bizarre and unscriptural doctrines that the church fathers taught the followers. This is what he said in there. God hates the Jews. It is your duty to hate the Jews. The Jews are cursed and will never return to be God's people. Early church fathers said all that. The church is the new Israel. We've replaced them. The Jews must suffer as a nation for killing Jesus. And no one can be both a Christian and a Jew. Ugh, crap, that. The logical consequence, don't record that part. The logical consequences of these statements and attitudes is the purging of the Jewishness of Yeshua. And the New Covenant scriptures are all stripped down. You might even call this an effort of ethnic cleansing of the Jewish faith. So that the good news appears altogether foreign to a Jewish person. Boy, I tell you, as a Jew, when I tried to find this Jesus guy, I had a hard time. Because I couldn't get past that thing on the wall there. Not the swastika, but that cross was the scariest symbol on earth to me. I didn't care about swastikas. They didn't bother me as much as that cross did. That's the scariest symbol on earth to a Jew because They don't know much about Jesus himself except what's been done to them in his name for 2,000 years. For example, in 364 of the Common Era at the Council of Laodicea, the church formally adopted Sunday as the Lord's Day, the day of worship and rest. This was 400 years after the first century, changing the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. So for 300 years, they were still worshiping on Saturday, weren't they? Believers who celebrated the Sabbath on Saturday now got excommunicated from the church and anathema from Christ. Believers in Jesus were commanded to not worship as the Jews, which resulted in Passover being changed to Easter, and a day selected to honor the Savior's birth, December 25th, that had pagan rather than Jewish roots. God's calendar and his holy days were dismissed because they were no longer relevant. Satan, whom the Brit Chadashah says is a thief, has been very successful in stealing the identity from the central figures in New Covenant history through changing their original Hebrew names. Yeshua is the first victim of that kind of identity theft. His real name was not Jesus. There's no J's in Hebrew, I hate to tell you this. Yeshua's name is especially significant since it actually clarifies who he is and what he came to do. He came to live up to the meaning of his name. What's the meaning of Jesus? Jesus doesn't mean salvation. Give me a break. Yeshua, an angel of the Lord said to Joseph, "You shall call his name Yeshua because he will save his people from their sins." Literally, his name is to be salvation because he will, Yoshia, he will save his people from their sins. By using the English name, the Jewishness of the New Covenant is obscured, communicating incorrectly to the Jews that the New Covenant is not Jewish. His mother had a Jewish name. Her name was Miriam. Miriam, when translated from the Greek to English, became Marie, or Mary, rather, or Maria. John the Baptist was actually Yochanan. He was not a Baptist. He was a Jewish boy, Yochanan Hamad Veal, and he ate veal. The same with Peter, Kepha. As Ron Kanter points out in his book, your average Jewish person has no idea that the man Christians call Peter is actually Jewish. Jacob, who wrote a letter to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad and was the physical half-brother of Yeshua, becomes a guy named James in translation. Who changed his name? It's speculated that King James did that when he came out with his Bible. Sure kills the perception of being Jewish, doesn't it? The new covenant was originally promised to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Rabbi Shaul tells us that theirs is the adoption. Theirs is the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. All that, he says. And that, he also says in Romans 9, 4, 5, the Jewish people also gave us the Messiah. He's not some blonde-haired, blue-eyed Greek goddess. God, I guess you call him a god, not a goddess. Goddess would be a woman. Yeah. You know what? These are some very rich roots that Rabbi Shaul talks about. And yet ignorant or uncaring that Yeshua's last meal was the disciples was a Passover Seder, there are still churches in the world that serve leavened bread for the Lord's Supper. We're going to have communion today, and I'll bet you there's matzah, unleavened bread there, isn't there? The enemy has stolen the richness and the Jewishness of communion from the body of believers at large. They are missing the beauty of seeing Yeshua as the sinless Messiah, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What about the law, the Torah? Satan has certainly tried to steal its true identity by making popular such phrases as, we are no longer under the law. But in Acts 21:20, we read that there were thousands who believed in Yeshua, and all of them were zealous for the law. This was considered something pretty good. In Yeshua, the law has gone from outside to the inside, from tablets of stone to the heart of man. In Ezekiel 36:26, you read about that. We believe that the Ten Commandments are still holy, just, and good. Romans 7:12 says that. They show us how to live and to reveal our identity, to actually keep the law fully, showing us our need for a Redeemer. Other victims of identity theft include the concept of priest. Priest is originally a Jewish concept. Baptism is still a very Jewish practice. Jews, when it is really Judeans or the Jewish leaders. Judaism is a Greek word. This final example of stolen identity has resulted in the centuries-old charge of deicide against the Jewish people. The entire Jewish nation has been blamed for the killing of Jesus, who, when in reality, was only a small group of jealous, politically oriented leaders and a manipulated crowd that were to blame. The deeper truth is that Yeshua gave his life of his own free will. No one killed him. It's his plan for all of us, Jew and non-Jew alike. I know that you know much of what I've shared here today. But our Jewish people do not know that there has been a spiritual identity theft with tragic, eternal consequences for them. We must make sure we always keep Yeshua and his followers in their Jewish context. And I challenge all the people who go to church, 2,000 years of going to church, to give up their traditions and return Yeshua back to his rightful place as King of the Jews. I ask that right now, and I hope the whole world hears it somehow. Amen. Thank you.